To order. And the first order of business Pastor Cousin already jumped to, but we'd like to welcome Paul Nunez, the newest trustee. Mr. Nunez, do you have any profound words to share with the rest of the group about how excited you are to be here?
No, I don't, but I know that a lot of you and look forward to working with you guys. So those that I don't know, hopefully get to know each other.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining and agreeing to be a part of the group here. Appreciate, I know that you have a very busy schedule, so appreciate you making a little bit more room on the schedule to help us out with the business of the pension board. I'd ask the committee to note for the record that we have Pastor Cousins, Trustee Ribeiro, Trustee Nunez, Trustee Cannon, Trustee McDermott, and myself here in attendance. I'd ask the board to skip over item one for later in the meeting and go to item two, approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion so to approve.
This is Tom, Cousin second.
That was, I'm sorry, that was Trustee McDermott moved that?
I move Trustee Cousin second.
Okay, thank you. Are there any, is there any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, those in favor of the minutes, Trustee Cousin?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Nunez?
Aye.
And I am a yes as well. Did I get everyone? Good. The minutes have passed. Item number three, administrative matters. Item A, survivorship affidavit and notarization elimination due to COVID. Could I ask staff to give us some information on this item, please?
Hi, good morning. This is Leanna Ambersley. This item has to do with each year annually, anyone receiving a survivorship pension for both funds is required to submit a survivorship affidavit stating that they have not remarried because the survivorship benefit ends upon their remarriage. So these are mailed out around July 1st of every year and they're due by August 31st. Those who have remarried, their pension stops. Also those who don't submit it, you know, within a few months, we also put their pension on hold as well. The issue obviously that's coming up is because majority of the survivors are elderly. A lot of them aren't even leaving their homes. You know, they're questioning how are they going to get it notarized because of what's going on with the pandemic. So we were bringing it to the board to see as a suggestion if for this year the trustees were interested in allowing them to sign it without it being submitted, without it being notarized just for this year. Carolyn, how would they, as a suggestion, what would you suggest that they write instead?
So this is Carolyn Cohn. My suggestion, and this is what was adopted by the SURF board, is that they write under penalties of perjury so that they realize that what they're signing is an important document. That and that they need to be truthful.
I have a question. Is the notarization simply for them to attest that they are who they are? I mean, is that the only reason, or they're attesting to the fact that they either remarried or not, and that they are who they're the person who signed the document?
It's the latter. It's that they're saying that what they're saying is true to the best of their knowledge because it's an affidavit.
Okay, I have a follow-up question, I'm sorry. So let's just say if they said they had remarried like 9 months ago, but they didn't tell us, do we go back and take funds back or we just consider it a wash and move forward?
Leanna, this is Carolyn Cohn. We would recoup their funds. We would be an overpayment.
Okay.
Any other questions here? This is just an informational thing. You're not expecting a vote on this?
I believe it would require a vote if the trustee, you know, are willing to, because right now it needs to be notarized. So if you're willing to allow them this year to not have it notarized, then we would need a vote on that.
So the,
permission to modify the form.
So the vote is, because the item on the agenda is survivorship affidavit, doesn't kind of outline that. The vote is to allow an affidavit in place of a notarization?
No, I think, Mr. Mayor, the vote is to allow it to be signed under penalties of perjury in the absence of a notarization. Because it will no longer be an affidavit.
Can you say that once more, Attorney Cohn?
Yes, the vote would be to allow the statement to be signed under penalties of perjury without the need for a notarization.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to allow a statement to be signed under penalties of perjury in replacement for a formal affidavit for those that may have changed their marital status?
So moved.
Trustee Cousins,
second.
So I see a motion by Trustee Rivero and a second by Trustee Cousin. Are there any other discussion on this item?
Yes. Can we add to the motion that it's for this year only due to COVID concerns?
It is your motion, so you're welcome to add it. Thank you.
Okay. So I withdraw my original motion and I make the motion with the addition that is for this year, 2020, only due to COVID concerns.
Thank you for that correction. Trustee Cousin, are you willing to second that amendment or that new motion?
Second.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this item? Okay, those in favor, Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Rivero?
Yes.
Trustee Cousins?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee Nunez?
Yes.
And I am a yes as well. The item passes. Thank you. I'm having some technical difficulties with my agenda, so apologize for the delay here. So moving on to item 3B, legal research project, information only, listing the names of disability applicants on the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Elicker. This is Carolyn Cohn again. This question came up when there was a Freedom of Information Act request by the New Haven Register for the application by Frank Ritchie for disability benefits. The request did not originally come to the Pension Division. It circulated throughout the city, and it went also to the Office of Handicap Services, Disability Services. Once it came to the Pension Division, the Office of Disability Services had said very strongly that they felt that this information should not be disclosed, which we agreed with as well. But it also led to a discussion with that office about whether or not the listing of the applicants for disability on our agenda violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. So we had a law student research this. The costs are shared between SURF and PNF, and because it's a law student, they're very minimal, and have concluded that the ADA does not preclude that listing, and will be writing a letter to the Office of Disability Services to that effect. But we thought that you should know that.
So just to clarify, we have been doing something that is appropriate and legal.
Yes, that is our conclusion.
Thank you for doing the research and making sure that that's the case. Are there any questions here?
Is this for information only? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And we also checked with other municipalities to see what they were doing. This is Carolyn Cohn again, and they were uniformly do list the applicants for disability on their pension agendas.
Mrs. Trustee Cannon, will you repeat that? They do?
Yes, they do what we do. They list the applicants on their agendas. Not the applications, just who's applied. That's what I'm trying to say.
Any other questions? Okay, moving on to item C, annual report.
This is Carolyn Cohn again. Hooker and Holcomb prepare the annual reports for both SURF and PNF. And Leanna can talk and Jerry can talk a little bit about what happens with the annual reports. But when we took a look this year, we realized that it had not been updated in many, many, many years. And so what we've done is updated. And I believe everybody has a copy of it, of the beginning pages, probably through page 10 or 11, are really a summary of plan description. And what the annual report is, it ends, it's a point in time that ends on June 30th, 2019. So when you read through it, you will see that some of the pension provisions have been changed by the new police and fire contracts, which are not in this report. They will be in next year's report. Although those changes are retroactive, Hooker and Holcomb felt that it was accurate to take a snapshot in time of June 30th, 2019, before those two contracts had been ratified. So when you read through, hopefully this will be helpful to the members to understand what their pension benefits are. And then the latter part includes financial information, which Hooker and Holcomb put together about the assets of the fund. And then Mr. Moran was very helpful in updating the list of investments and investment managers, which you'll see at the end of this report. So this is for information only, and maybe Leanna, I think it needs to go to the Board of Alders under the plan. It does say that we submit this to the Board of Alders every year. And maybe Jerry, or you can explain how the members get copies or what the process is.
Well, the city independent auditors get copies of that and they're audited the pension plans. Years ago, there used to be a printing of thousands of copies of the police and fire and SURF forms became to be a cost expense that the trustees said in today's day and age, I don't think we really have to do this. So we take those reports and we put them online on the city website under the pension section so employees have access to them, employees and retirees.
Attorney Cohn, so there's a part of this you said needs to go to the Board of Alders. Is that just in a formal way, or is that just sharing documents?
Just sharing. I would send this to Mr. Lucas from the Office of Legislative
Services. Yeah, Legislative Services, right.
Good.
That's a matter of routine.
Any questions? Okay. Thanks for your work on this.
Thank you.
Item number three D, executive session to discuss written legal opinions regarding settlement agreement between the City of New Haven and Local 825 IAFF AFL-CIO. Dated May 7th, 2020, regarding the Board of Alders, City of New Haven versus City of New Haven, Justin Ellicker, Local 825 IAFF AFL-CIO, Frank Ritchie, Christine Ritchie, a Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, et cetera, et cetera. Attorney Cohn, could you explain the reasoning for going into executive session?
Yes, And may I also suggest, Mayor Elliker, that this item might be considered last in the agenda so that those who do not wish to stick around for it. So there's a legal opinion under the Freedom of Information Act. There can go into executive session to discuss a legal opinion. The legal opinion deals with two subjects. One subject is that the settlement agreement includes a provision that Mr. Ritchie will be able to purchase his sick time for pension credit, and that he will be able to, notwithstanding what the provisions of the pension plan are with respect to the sick time. So the legal opinion discusses whether or not that is lawful under the pension plan and under the pension plan regulation, which was adopted in 2019 by this board, that said that there shall be no enhanced pension benefits paid to any employee as a in connection with an employment settlement. So the question is, there's a legal opinion to discuss what the board should be doing about that provision of the settlement agreement. The other aspect of the legal opinion is to discuss the role of the pension board in this litigation. The pension board has not been named as a defendant and is not obviously a plaintiff, and whether or not there is a role for the pension board in the litigation.
Thank you, Attorney Cohn. You had suggested in an email that Mr. Gormley and I recuse ourselves and Pat Cannon.
Yes.
What is your reasoning for that?
So for each, a different person. For Mayor Elliker, you are a named defendant in this case. So if we were to discuss the appropriateness of the pension board being a participant in this litigation, I believe you may have a conflict of interest because you're a named defendant, and in terms of whether or not the pension board should become involved. With respect to Mr. Gormley, he is not a trustee. He's the clerk. He would have to be specially invited in, but because of the city being a named defendant, and my understanding of Mr. Gormley's role in the settlement agreement, I believe that's a conflict of interest. I think that the pension board needs to just look at this without people who are interested in the litigation being involved. With respect to Mr. Cannon, he is a direct beneficiary of the 2006 Memorandum of Understanding as amended by the settlement agreement in 2019. He has a personal financial interest. In addition, he is vice president of Local 825, and Local 825 is a named defendant in this litigation. Local 825 is a party to both the 2006, 2019, 2020 settlement agreements, and I believe that both issues that would be discussed in executive session, it's inappropriate, or Mr. Cannon has a conflict of interest.
So I disagree with the assessment that Mr. Gormley and I should not be in executive session. Neither one of us have a financial interest in the outcome of this case, but I'm the mayor and I have to protect the interests of the city, which is the same thing as protecting the interests of the pension board. And so I believe that I should be a part, as well as Mr. Gormley, of the executive session. I can't speak for Mr. Cannon. I think that the situation is slightly different. But I do object to the suggestion that Mr. Gormley and I should not be a part of it. And, I'd add that there's other staff that you know, for example, Leanna reports to Mr. Gormley as well. So, you know, there's other staff that would appropriately also be in executive session or should be recused under your argument. But I think it's appropriate for us to be part of the executive session.
I'm also, can oppose to not being in executive session. As the president of Local 825 and as the vice chair of this pension board, I have definitely an interest to protect the members of Local 825 and also this pension board and the members of the police department here. So I am opposed to that also and request to be in executive session.
The question of recusal is one for the person who was asked to recuse him or herself to make, so that if the three of you believe that it's appropriate, which I do not, then you will be in the executive session.
I think it's appropriate for me to be in there to protect the interests of the New Haven police and firefighters as vice chair of this pension board and our role in how we proceed litigation against any potential litigation against this board.
My suggestion, Attorney Cohen, is there urgency to this item?
Yes.
Can you
discuss
explain
what that is? Yes, particularly the two aspects of it. There's no urgency at the moment to whether or not this pension board should seek to join the litigation. So that there's absolutely no urgency in that. The question of how Mr. Ritchie's pension should be calculated and whether he should be entitled to purchase 5 years of his sick time is quite urgent because he will be paid for the first time tomorrow. And so that amount, how much he will receive needs to be decided today.
This is Trustee Cannon. The amount of sick time to be purchased is not in question. That has been earned by Mr. Ritchie. There is another issue related to the 2006 Memorandum of Understanding that's an issue. That was revised by this and Mr. Ritchie. And I believe the city has agreed to honor that deal. So,
Can we discuss this in executive session, and you will have, I believe this is not appropriate to be discussed in public session.
Do we have a mechanism to go to a breakout room, Leanna? Yeah.
Hi, this is Leanna. I do need to ask one question because Trustee Ribeiro, I believe, signed off, but a number just joined. I just wanted confirmation if that was Trustee Ribeiro.
Back on.
Yes. It is. I'm going to log back on to Zoom.
Okay. Yes. Let me just create the breakout room. Carolyn, so they need to vote to go into executive session?
Correct? Can I come up?
Can I ask that we take a short recess or a short break? I know that we have Pat King on the call. Pat, are you there?
Pat Cannon?
No, Pat King. There's several Pats on the call with last names that are similar. Attorney King is the Corporation Counsel of the Cities. I wanted to ask in particular the appropriateness of Mr. Cannon being on the call. Mr. Cannon, I'd love for you to be a part of the conversation. I just want to make sure that we're doing things appropriately.
I understand.
Well, Mr. Cannon does have a personal financial stake to the extent that he may be eligible for benefits under the 2006 agreement. So to that extent, he personally has a financial stake, but he also is here in a representative capacity representing his union, which is a defendant in the case. And as Attorney Cohn noted, the issue of recusal is left to the person who would have the conflict. And I think that if he believes that he can separate out his own financial interest from that of the union that he represents on his board, then he should be able to participate. But I think that question is up to him. He has to make that determination. This is not, I note, about his particular pension and any claim that he might have to any pension under this agreement at this point. I don't believe he served the appropriate amount of time to qualify for consideration under the MOU. So his personal stake at this point in time is not really right, I think.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney King. So let's vote on going into executive session. Do I hear a motion to go into executive session?
Motion.
Second.
I saw that Trustee Cousins moved going into executive session, and Trustee Nunez seconds. Trustee yes. Cousins, how do you vote?
Larrell, could you also need to say who is invited into the executive session other than the trustees?
Okay. So I'd invite Trustee Cohn, Leanna Ambersley, and Mr. Gormany, and Jerry Sagnella. Mm-hmm. Are there any other people that are recommended to join that are not the members of the pension board?
No, because it's a legal opinion, I think those are the only people who can be invited in.
Thank you. Trustee Cousins, how did you vote?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Nunez?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
And I am a yes, so let's move over to executive session and hope it works. Everyone back in? Not quite.
Yeah.
Trustee Ribeiro is not here yet.
Record company saving the coming back.
There she is.
Did they win?
Okay.
Okay. Item number 4, 5, and 6. Are information only. I'd like to take a brief moment of silence to honor and reflect on the passing of those individuals who have served the city and their spouses. Thank you. Item number 7, payment of the bills. Do I hear a motion to approve item number 7?
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Pastor Cousins moved the item, and Mr. McDermott seconded it. Is any discussion on this item? Those in favor, Commissioner Ribeiro, or Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee yes. McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Cousins?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon? Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Well, see, thank you. And I am a yes as well. So that item passes. Any old business or new business? So I'd like to ask the committee to continue the meeting. Sorry, Raymond James. You do not need to show up. We are planning on continuing this meeting at 3 p.m. today. I appreciate folks hanging around for this meeting. But I'd ask for a motion to continue the meeting until 3 p.m. today.
So moved.
Trustee McDermott had moved the item. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Cousins?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon? Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
And I am a yes. So the meeting will be continued at 3 p.m. today. Leanna will send out another Zoom invite and update the website as well.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. See you later.